Turtle?
Like that turtle.
What turtle? I don't know what you're talking
about. You know what I'm talking about?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay, we'll look up the video later of turtles having sex.
Okay. Okay.
It's the turtle that's being bottomed.
Ooh. Awful. Hello and welcome to the Six of One podcast, a curiosity podcast where we talk about curious things. Sorry, I started off strong.
It's okay.
I'm Sav, one of your co-hosts, and your other co-host is Kyle. Hi, Kyle.
Hi, Sav.
How's it going?
It's going good.
That's just how you sound now? You can do that the whole time?
I'm just going to do this the whole time.
It's your topic, so like, that's going to be a lot of it.
I would be so annoyed with myself if I did that.
Yeah. We'd lose the one follower we have. The one person from California that listens to us will stop listening to us.
Shout out to your one. Out to you, one person in California.
You probably listened once and were like, fuck.
This is
not
trash.
Not doing this again.
Not doing this again.
Yeah.
LA, I think, is where they were.
La La Land.
La La Land. Yeah, no, good. Week was really boring, actually.
Oh, okay.
Very boring.
Yeah, that's
uneventful.
Fair. Okay.
Which I'll take. How was your week?
It was fine. We did get Apple TV.
Oh, that's a recent event.
Yeah, we got a free trial because I really wanted to watch Ted Lasso. So we've been watching Ted Lasso. It's a great show.
Okay.
Great show.
I feel like we've mentioned Apple TV on this podcast before.
Right, and I'm pretty sure I mentioned that I'm never going to get it and I'm never going to see any of those things. But
probably.
Then I looked it up. Guess what? It's $4.99 a month.
Wow.
Right? Like, I thought it was going to be at least, like, HBO Max prices, which is like $14.99 a month.
Yeah, no, that's a third of Netflix.
Yeah, like $4.99 is nothing. Also, how much are you paying for Netflix?
Kind of worth it. Like $13.99.
Why? I'm paying like $8.99.
I do not know.
Okay, you need to look into that.
Yeah,
man,
I probably should.
Definitely paying less than you and Netflix.
There's like, they have different plans.
Yeah, and if you have the plan where, like, you want to watch, like, two things at the same time. Like, I think I don't, I think two people can't watch Netflix in my house.
Oh, yeah.
But, no. Like, we rarely watch different things.
I have that. And we don't ever watch different things at the same time.
Oh, so it's probably not worth it anymore. No. Like, I understand the idea, but, like, if we had kids.
Yeah.
Then,
yeah. Or if, you know, you're just generally, like, watching.
Right. Like, if we just never hung out as a couple.
Yeah.
Like, we're just in this for the sex.
Which is the thing.
I'm just kidding.
The sex and food. Food and sex.
Food and sex. That's all it's about.
Food and sex.
But, yeah, no. We got Apple TV. Although I told Matt, well, we have the 7-day trial right now. Mm-hmm. I told him because we have Peacock right now. It's a Peacock? Yeah. I was thinking it was Paramount Plus, but that's the one that you have.
Yeah, that's
where
that
you
one.
Watch your big brother.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is now over. That's something that happened this week.
Oh, yeah. I did see, like, I've seen some things on Twitter about it being over.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so we got Peacock, which is also $4.99 a month. So I was like, why don't we get rid of Peacock? But he likes Peacock. I don't know why.
What's on Peacock? That's
not anything
else.
He only got it to watch a show called Sliders, which is an old show from, I've told you
about
this.
You've told me about this.
Sliders.
Sliders.
That's the beginning of the intro. It's just like a screen and they go sliders. And then like every time they cut out to a commercial, they go sliders. Yeah, it's great.
Well, you need to tell him to hurry up and watch that so you can just get rid of Peacock.
Well, like we haven't been watching it. It was just like kind of like a thing, like a fun thing to watch, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But like, I feel like we just need to get rid of, like, you know, we'll swap it out for a little bit. We can get it back later.
Yeah.
I'll watch all of Ted Lasso.
Yeah.
And The Morning Show.
Yeah.
And whatever else I feel like I need to watch. Yeah. Apparently, I have to watch them. There's lots of things. Because my boss is telling me about all the things. And I was like, I'm watching Ted Lasso. She's like, I'm never going to watch that. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, no, I don't think I would either.
Yeah.
But I would definitely get it for Dickinson.
Good,
I watched like two episodes of Dickinson. And I was like,
what's Dickinson?
Show about Emily Dickinson.
Ooh.
Portrayed by none other than Hailee Steinfeld.
Oh, I do like her.
I like her.
But I feel weird that she's an adult now.
I know. I don't like that.
Yeah.
She's in something new coming out, too.
Hmm.
Alongside somebody. It's like a big deal. I don't remember what it is. The Arrow movie and for Marvel.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I definitely wouldn't know about that.
Yeah. Arrow? No. What's his name? Hawkeye.
Hawkeye.
Arrow's DC. Duh.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was like, that doesn't sound right.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, that's it.
That's all.
That's the show.
Goodbye.
All right, thanks, guys. Thanks for coming.
No, that's not it. Let's get into today's topic.
Okay, let's do it. What are we talking about today, Kyle?
What are we talking about? We are talking about, since it's spoopy season, it's officially spoopy season. And it's officially the spoopiest month of them all. Today, I just realized. It's the first day of the spoopy month. You know, when we're recording this, it's the first day of the spoopiest month of them all. So, I figured, why not start it off with the spoopiest of all things, fear itself.
Bum, bum, bum.
So, I got this idea because I teach a section of a class called Personal Growth and Development. And in it, I typically ask the kids, what do you want to learn? Because it's very relaxed. You know, you can learn whatever you want to learn, sort of thing. I mean, there's some things that are geared towards, you know, like mental health and stuff.
And preparation
for jobs in the future and whatever. But one of them, or a couple of them, said phobias. We want to learn about all the different phobias.
Ah.
I was like, oh, okay. So then I did some research to teach them phobias. And in the research, I was like, fear makes a good time.
Yeah.
Because it's very interesting. Like, we all know what it is, but we might not know where it comes from or how it becomes a thing.
Yeah.
So, today we're going to go over fear. We're going to learn what it is, where it comes from, and then also at the end, we're going to go over many a different phobias.
Ooh, yay.
Which I think they're kind of interesting.
Yeah. Diagnose me, Kyle.
I just like the words because, well, obviously I teach English, so it incorporates like roots.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And roots are always fun to teach because it's like that light bulb moment and kids are like, oh, shit.
Yeah, like the fear of palindromes is a palindrome. I don't remember the word is, but the fear of palindromes, which is a weird fear. I mean, every fear is, you know, legitimate. You're valid. But like, I don't understand that one.
There's one that's just like that we'll talk about that is kind of funny in that way.
Yeah.
But fear.
Okay. Let's go.
So, Avi, fear is a response to a certain stimulus occurring in the present or in anticipation or expectation of a future threat perceived as a risk to oneself. It arises from the perception of danger leading to confrontation with or escape from the threat. It's also known as fight or flight.
Right.
Which I'm sure that many of you have heard of.
Yeah, for sure. Because I have anxiety.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that response a lot.
Fair. Me too. I think a lot of people could probably relate.
Do you talk about how like anxiety is just like having fear all the time?
I mean, not too much, but yeah, that's basically
what it is.
It's basically just having a fear of, well, it's an irrational fear.
Right.
Which?
Of sometimes unknown things.
Yes. Right. Yes. And we'll talk about the difference between fear and irrational fear.
Ooh.
Irrational and irrational fear.
Yeah.
So fight is obviously like, if there's a danger in front of me, I'm going to fight it.
I'm going to throw
my fists at it.
I have a story that goes with fight and fear.
Oh, my God. Say.
Oh, my God. So one time... Matt was putting in eye drops and I walked up to him and he didn't hear me. And so I was like, I'm going to scare him. I'm just going to like fun scare.
Oh no.
Right.
Oh no.
And so he was standing right next to him right after he put the eye drops in. So then he like had his eyes closed and I was like, poo. And he turned around to me and he like jumped and did like, ugh. And then he pushed me because he was so scared. So he had a fight response.
He definitely had the fight response.
And then he's like, I'm sorry I pushed you, but like, don't do that ever again.
That's such an interesting response. Like, he could have punched you.
He could have punched me. He did
or,
just push
like,
me.
Or like, threw a hand out. Instead, he pushed you. Goodbye.
And like, not like hard enough for me to go. It was a very light push, too.
So if you're ever presented with a danger and you're with him, run, because he's not doing anything that's going to be practical or helpful in that situation.
I mean, flight is usually my response, so I'll probably run mine anyway.
Too.
Yeah,
mine too.
So he can try to fight if he wants.
Just by pushing them.
Right.
Yeah, so flight is the other option, running away, which is definitely more in my wheelhouse.
That's fair.
And yours, it sounds like. Fear. Yep. Fear can be rational and appropriate, or it can be irrational and inappropriate. Irrational fear is called a phobia.
Ooh.
So if you can rationalize it, I guess it's a fear. It's like an actual fear. Like it's a legitimate fear of something. I'm scared of something. If it's if it's irrational, it's phobia.
Yeah. Makes sense. Okay.
Makes sense.
Can phobias, though, also sometimes be like rational to an extent?
To an extent.
Because, like, I'm afraid of spiders.
Yes.
And to an extent, like, they can bite me.
Yes.
And so that's legitimate. But, like, I am way too scared of spiders for, like, anybody's own good.
Yeah. And that's the, I guess, where kind of the irrationality comes into it.
I'm also afraid of spiders that can't hurt me. Like garden spiders or, like, daddy long legs.
But there is, there's a line between that and, like, being scared of the color white. That's a fear.
Right. Like that's, definitely.
Totally irrational. Makes no sense.
Yeah. Right. Unless like you almost died once and you saw white and like, when you see white, you think of dying.
We're going to get to a lot of this. Fear isn't the opposite of courage though. Don't mistake that. Courage is a willingness to face adversity. Fear makes courage possible.
That's very inspiring.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, that also makes sense because, like, you know, like without fear, why? What are you being courageous about?
Exactly.
Like, if you had, like, if your brain was wired and you had like a disorder where you couldn't feel any fear, it wouldn't make you courageous.
No,
it would just make you kind of a psychopath.
You'd definitely be a psychopath. If you can feel fear,
right? You're just never afraid of anything. Like, not even rash. Because like some fears are good.
Yeah.
Like when like you're your kid and you touch the stove and it hurts and then you're afraid of the stove. Like that's good because then you're not going to hurt yourself anymore.
That's a good segue.
Wow.
There are a few different causes to fear. Now it's pretty much broken down into like two categories. Innate fear and learned fear. Certain fears are more common than others. So like animals and heights are more common than like the fear of flowers or clouds or like that.
Because those are more rational.
They're more rational. And it's known as preparedness.
Right.
Now where these come from, this is an interesting fact that many may not know. Early humans that were quick to fear dangerous situations were more likely to survive and reproduce. Mm. That's where the more common ones come from. Animals, heights, spiders even. Because they're things that can harm us, right?
Right.
Preparedness is theorized to be a genetic effect that is the result of natural selection. So that's what that kind of innate fear would be called or referred to as preparedness.
Right. But, like, doesn't that kind of, like, if they can prove that that's real, it's not kind of prove generational trauma? That, like, you can feel trauma? But I feel like they haven't proved generational trauma.
No, I haven't looked too much into it.
Yeah, maybe I don't know.
I would suppose if someone hasn't yet, get on that shit because
I mean I feel like people are trying,
Yeah.
But I feel like it's a hard thing to prove,
Well that proves it right there. The fact that but it's more common to be scared of
but
things.
But is that like proof or is that just like evidence?
That's true.
I don't know.
That's a good point. It just kinda adds.
Maybe I'm wrong.
Case.
Maybe they're like, we've proved generational trauma in like 1982, you dumbass.
Write us in and tell us. We're dumb.
Let us know.
But it makes sense, you know, if you think back to, like, the caveman times. Yeah. You had to be scared of certain things in order to survive. And then there's learned fear. So basically animals and humans, I don't know why mammals wasn't just, I should have shortened that to mammals.
Animals and humans. You want to differentiate us from the animals.
Not just mammals.
Sorry, Jackson.
You're not scared of any. whales could be scared. So then, well, no, they're a mammal. Fishes could be scared.
Oh, yeah. Fish are scared all the time. Have you seen a fish?
Yeah.
It's always scared.
Yeah. It's always scared. They're the most
scared
animal.
And they don't even have great memories. No. That's probably why they're scared. They don't know anything.
What is that? So animals and humans innovate specific fears as a result of learning. We definitely know that fear can be learned by experiencing or watching a frightening traumatic accident.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
If for example, if a child falls into a well, horrible example, but if it's a...
Timmy fell in the well.
To use it as an example, if a child falls into a well and struggles to get out, this child may develop a fear of wells, heights, enclosed spaces, water, blah.
Right. So, trauma creates fear. Yeah.
Which is kind of self-explanatory.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair.
But it was proposed that a person learns to fear regardless of whether they themselves have experienced trauma.
That's also fair.
Or if they have observed the fear in others.
Right, yeah. No, definitely, like, because you can tell, like, and that scares me too, but, like, more anxious people.
Mm-hmm.
Or people that have fears, like, their kids are more likely to, like, fear things.
Mm-hmm. Just because they've experienced it. They've lived it. So they're like, oh, they're afraid of stuff. I should be afraid of stuff.
Yeah, like, I should be afraid of the same things my parents are afraid of. And sometimes that's true because it's like, oh, my parents are afraid of, like, walking in front of a car. Or, like, they, you know, are afraid of... I don't know.
That's a good point, actually. No, fear can be used... in productive ways.
Right. But like then it's like, oh, my, you know, mom is afraid to leave the house. Like that's not okay.
Right.
That's not helpful.
Right. Definite difference.
Yeah. I have another story about fear that I want to tell you because it happened today. I was driving to Target and I was going to park, you know, like on the side of the building so you can park there.
Mm-hmm.
This mom and this little girl were walking on, like, the sidewalk part.
Yep.
And they stopped, like, where I was going to park. And I waited a second. And then, like, they started to go again. I was like, it's okay. Like, I can't hit them because there's a curb right there. I'm just going to park. And I went to park. And the little girl ran into the corner. And her face was like,
ah! Oh, God.
She was so scared. I felt so bad. But it was also very funny.
Oh, my God. Poor little girl. She was scared. You're going to run over.
She was like, this bitch is going to run my ass off.
On the curb.
Like, she was like looking around like she was like, it was the most dramatic, like scared.
Oh,
and then when I got in my car, I apologized to the mom and she's like, it's fine.
Oh, that's good. It's fine. How fast were you whooping in there?
I was going very slowly too. And so
she's
I stopped before I even was like fully parked because I was like, oh, I'm going to wait until. And the mom had to be like, it's okay, honey. You can come. Like, she's not going to run into you. I promise.
That girl is just being overdramatic.
Yeah.
That's what I'm chalking it up to.
Or maybe she has a unresolved trauma. Maybe she was in a car accident.
That's true.
Maybe she saw somebody get hit by a car. She was like three, but I don't know, maybe.
That's true. I should be more sensitive. Huh?
Yeah. She has unresolved trauma. Poor girl.
On that note, we're going to take a break, and then we will come back, and we'll talk about how it works in the brain, and then treatments for fear as well.
Hi, friends. Thank you for listening to our podcast. If you like this podcast, you can also like us on Facebook. Our Facebook page is at 6of1podcast, 6 spelled out, O-F, 1, the numeral podcast. Look us up. Hello, and welcome back to the 6of1 podcast. Today we're talking about fear. That was my creepy music. It wasn't that good. But yeah, so we're talking about fear. Continue on, Kyle.
Let's continue. Now we're going to talk about how fear works in your head, in your head space.
Ooh.
Because, like, obviously we all know what fear is. We know we can identify it when we're scared. But, like, how exactly does it work in the chemistry in your brain?
Ooh.
That's very interesting to me, at least.
Oh.
I would assume to a lot of people, too.
Yeah, I like to know how my brain works sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes.
I feel like it's going to go over my head a little bit, but I'm going to do my best.
It's, I've broken it down rather easily.
Expert Kyle over here.
There's not too many crazy things about the brain, too. But, I can't, I can't unbiasedly say that because I did study the brain as my undergrad. So.
That's fair.
That's maybe right. A little bit more verse in it. But hopefully this isn't too crazy. So how it works is you have, obviously, you have your senses that send signals to your brain. Right? your senses send, in the brain, there's a place called the thalamus that right. collects your sensory data
okay.
from your senses. First step. Then the sensory cortex receives the data from the thalamus mm-hmm. and interprets it. That's okay. the purpose of the sensory cortex. It interprets that thing that's coming into your brain.
The data.
Then the sensory cortex organizes that information for dissemination to one of three places. Yeah. So it spreads it out to three places. The hypothalamus, which is what activates your fight or flight response.
Okay.
The amygdala. One is an amygdala. Two is amygdalae, I think. Or amygdala? Still? I don't know.
Yeah.
There's two okay. in your brain. They're
okay,
like
they're
almond
like ovaries.
Size.
Got it.
Yeah. They're like okay. almond sized, kind of near
really
your brain.
Really like
stem.
Ovaries.
Yeah. Super. They're the ovaries of the brain.
The ovaries of the brain. I love it.
And that's really where fear is kind of like initiated. And then the third place is the hippocampus, which is where your memory is.
Yes.
So, spreads it out to one of the three places. The three places do the things that they're supposed to do. Activate your fight or flight, your fear, store it in your memory as, oh, that's a scary thing. Remember that. That sort of thing.
Okay, cool.
The center where most of the neurobiological events associated with fear are the two, amygdalae, which is the plural of amygdala. Amygdala. Okay. It's a really weird looking word.
It's like alumni.
Yeah.
Because like alumni.
Alumni.
Is male alumna.
Really?
So alumni is when you're a man. Alumna is when you're a woman. Alumnae is like all. So like if I was like Kyle and Savannah went to this school, they are alumnae of that school.
I've only ever heard alumni.
I know. I learned that not too long ago.
How misogynistic.
Right. And yeah, we just say alumni. They're not all alumni. Some of them are alumna.
Fucking world. I hate this world.
Or alumni. I guess it would be alumni too if you were non-binary.
Yeah.
Or whatever you wanted to be. But it could be alumni if you're non-binary.
Could be alumni, yeah.
You have that option.
Damn. Learning more than just fear here.
Learning so much today.
So much. So in the presence of a threatening stimulus, the amygdalae generate the secretion of hormones that influence fear and aggression.
Okay.
It's all hormones.
Is that right? Testosterone? It seems like it would be testosterone. Especially the aggression part.
No, actually, oh. I know. I was like, I thought I remember researching this. Yeah, I know which ones it is. Testosterone isn't one of them.
That's fair.
I put hormones down, but it's really more like a endorphin.
Okay.
Than a hormone.
Right.
Hormone is kind of an inaccurate term for it.
That's fair. Did they say hormones when you were researching it?
Yeah.
That's weird.
I don't know why.
Yeah, because isn't hormones just...
Not hormone. Hormones are testosterone and estrogen.
And progesterone.
Yeah.
Progesterone. I can never say that word.
Progesterone. Endorphins are like epinephrine.
Yeah.
Norepinephrine.
Like the thing on your...
Yeah.
Your back of your neck.
The thing. Once a response to the stimulus is in the form of fear or aggression commences, the amygdalae may elicit the release of hormones into the body. Again, endorphins into the body to put the person into a state of alertness.
Ha.
The defense response is generally referred to in physiology as the fight or flight response.
Right.
Regulated by the hypothalamus, part of the limbic system.
Okay.
Typically, there's three endorphins.
Okay.
Epinephrine.
Right.
Which regulates heart rate and metabolism, as well as dilating blood vessels and air passages.
Yeah, and that's the thing that they give you when you are going into anaphylaxis, right?
It is.
Oh, look at it. I know things. EpiPen.
I don't know if it's epinephrine or norepinephrine.
I mean, probably it might be. But like norepinephrine is just epinephrine, but different, right?
Well, the second one is norepinephrine, which increases heart rate, blood flow to skeletal muscles and the release of glucose from energy sources.
Ooh, maybe I'm going to look that up.
I really don't honestly know the difference between epinephrine and norepinephrine a lot of the time, because they're both kind of referred to as quote unquote adrenaline.
Oh,
that's what adrenaline is.
Well, it is epinephrine in an EpiPen.
It is epinephrine. Okay.
Yeah. So I but that's, the, but I maybe, I mean, I don't know. Maybe it is a mix of, no, it says measured doses of epinephrine into an auto ejector.
Okay. Yeah, because I mean, I know enough about health, but not enough to really think, like, should your blood vessels be dilating or... What's the other one?
Well, I think the air passages is definitely part of it, too, though.
Dilating your air passages? It's a good idea.
Yeah, because you can't, like, usually you can't breathe when you're going into anaphylactic shock.
Oh, because it's like...
Because so the, the histamine reaction that you're having.
Yeah.
Inflames everything in your body. So then that would help.
So you want them your blood vessels
dilating so you can get it to your heart, and then your air vessels dilating so you can breathe.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Sorry,
makes sense.
I just talked about blood, and I have to tell you this because I just learned it. And you probably know this. Maybe you don't know this, but it's I'm so excited. Did you know that your pee is not, it's blood? Your pee is blood.
I didn't know that.
I mean, it's not like directly blood, but like the way pee is created is by like they, you know, so your like shit in your blood gets passed through your kidneys and then creates pee. So it's just wasted blood. It's not like, because, you know, okay, so this is what I thought it was because I'm dumb, I guess, and didn't listen in biology. Why would I? Who did? Because you think like when you eat things, right?
Yeah.
That, like, I feel like I thought there was, like, two things. Like, it went, like, this way.
Mm-hmm.
Or it went, like, to your poop, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, your food just either pee or poop.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not how it works.
Oh.
That's not how it works.
I'm sorry, what?
No, so, like, water and, like, other things, they get into your bloodstream. Like, they're absorbed from your stomach into your bloodstream.
Uh-huh.
And then they're, like, regurgitated from your bloodstream into your kidneys to, like... filter out all the shit.
Oh, and that's how the pee becomes
and
waste.
Then it goes into your uterus. That's why you get kidney stones. They come out your bladder.
Oh my god,
isn't that crazy?
Okay, so my thought was that you drink, so say you drink a Gatorade,
right?
Your body, it would go into your stomach, and then your stomach, I guess I don't know how it works.
You had no idea how it works.
I thought at some point down the line, it was filtered. So your body would take the good nutrients and put it in your bloodstream, and the bad shit would go straight into your kidneys and then out through
your
pee.
I think the bad shit goes in your...
No, it all goes into your blood.
Well, yeah, the bad shit definitely goes in your blood because that's why you have a blood alcohol level. And just they don't just put the alcohol right in your kidneys. It goes in your blood first. And then that's how it gets to your brain.
That was never what I was taught.
I don't think, I mean, maybe we were taught that, but I didn't listen if we were. I had no idea that pee was just blood.
We could have been taught that and I didn't listen, but I would, I think.
I feel like if, okay, see, that's the thing. I feel like they need to teach children differently because if I was, you know, 15 years old and somebody was like, pee is just blood, I'd be like, what the fuck?
Don't even get me started on the health education system and
right, but like
America.
That's not even health education. That's like biology. Like you should have taught me that in science class.
Yeah, for sure.
Like not health sciences. You know, like okay, but like I feel like all of that should be taught in like a more scientific way.
That's insane.
But yeah,
this is just turning into a health podcast now.
Right. I was like, ugh. So yeah, I got too excited, and I think it was because we were talking about blood.
My god, blowing my mind over here. So the third endorphin, you got epinephrine, norepinephrine, and then cortisol, which increases blood sugar, circulating neutrophilic leukocytes.
Yeah.
Calcium.
How did I know how to say that?
I don't know. I don't know how to say words.
That's okay, but I was shocked that I did.
Girl, it's Friday.
That's fair. End of the week.
Long week. And then the amygdala, and hippocampus record the event through synaptic plasticity.
What does that mean?
Okay, so I know what a synapses.
So like synapses, like the same kind of synapses you'd have for a book.
No.
Oh, that's a synopsis.
This is synapses.
don't know what a synapsis
is. No, so you have synapses in your brain. You have synapses and dendrites. I don't think I'm pronouncing that word correctly.
Okay. And this is all new information. I'm hearing this for the first time.
So what it does is the endorphins go from one to the other.
Okay.
So It's a whole complicated. There could be a whole podcast just explaining how this situation works. Let's take, for example, okay, so like depression.
Okay, yeah. Sad hormones.
Sad, yeah. Well, you need, there's certain hormones that should be going in there.
Right, it's a lack of happy ones.
And there's one of two things that happens. Either they're not being made or they're not being sucked up correctly.
Okay.
And depending on that is how you take medication. So that's how that's where everything interferes, basically. Synapses and dendrites. So I'm assuming that synaptic plasticity has something to do with that.
Yeah.
The memory of
the synapses it's in plastics now.
Yeah. It's just made in plastics.
It's just in plastics.
I work in plastics. And then the stimulation to the hippocampus will cause the individual to remember many details surrounding the situation. So it's basically all about memory. And then that's what can turn a permanent fear, or that's what forms permanent fears.
Right.
Such as post-traumatic stress disorder or a phobia.
Okay.
Your body sees it, remembers it.
Right.
And then you're scared forever. Hello, everyone. Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you have any ideas for topics that we should cover in the future, go ahead and email us at 6of1podcast, all spelled out, at gmail.com. And maybe your topic will be selected for a future episode. Pathogens can suppress amygdala activity. So there was an experiment. I read this whole experiment, and I was like, I'm not going to talk about this whole thing. I'm just going to talk about the results.
I like that you read the whole thing, though.
I really like reading, especially scholarly journals, the whole thing, start to finish. How did you do this? What was involved? What was the results? I fucking love that shit.
You know what I like reading? What? Abstracts.
Just
the abstract.
Just the abstract.
Well, sometimes, yeah, I'll read the abstract, because the abstract usually has a conclusion, so then I can, like, you know, kind of gain what, I don't know. It's how I learned that all the ferrets didn't die. Oh my God, did you hear about that?
No.
There's this huge QAnon theory. First they were like, you know how people were like, they didn't test the vaccine on animals, right?
Oh, yeah.
And they did.
Yeah.
And then they were like, oh, they did test it on animals, but then all the ferrets died.
Oh, yeah.
And did you know? So I looked into it. I was like, what the fuck does all the ferrets die? It's kind of like a dog whistle for, like, QAnon now. Like, just saying all the ferrets died.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like a thing.
Yeah.
But I looked it up, and there was a trial that had ferrets, not the one for humans.
Oh.
And not all the ferrets died. I don't think any of the ferrets died.
Oh.
Zero of the ferrets died.
Who got that?
And it was for minks. The vaccine. They were doing a vaccine for minks.
Why?
Because minks, like, very transmittable with, you know, SARS viruses.
Yeah.
You know, COVID's a SARS virus.
Yeah.
Like the first SARS, you know, thing that happened in Asia, or China, I think specifically, that came from a mink.
Oh.
Like, they are usually the spreaders. So, like, if you quell it in there, you know.
Where'd they get ferrets dying from, then?
I don't know. They just made it up.
Because people don't. None of the ferrets died. Read articles. They read abstracts.
None of the ferrets died. Well, no. It's because people read lies.
Lies.
Like, legitimate lies.
Perpetuate it, absolutely.
And then they just think it's truth.
No. I read the abstract, and then I go to the end and read the conclusion. Then I go back and read everything all the way through.
I just do that first part.
It's my favorite thing. I just had to write a paper for school, and I loved it because I got to synthesize journals.
Ooh.
I love synthesis.
That sounds like everything I hate in my whole life.
It's the best thing ever. But anyway, this study involved rats, and they infected rats with toxoplasmosis parasites.
That's a bad parasite.
It's a bad parasite. But they became less fearful of cats when cats were interjected into the experiment.
And then the cats eat them.
And then the cats got, and then the rats got eaten. But they were infected with the parasite, which is like a pathogen.
The pathogen comes from cats.
Well, yeah. No, the pathogen comes from the parasite. The toxoplasmosis parasite. Toxoplasmosis.
Yeah, but that usually comes from cats.
Oh.
It's passed through cats, usually.
Oh, so like the rats that they eat that have toxoplasmosis?
No, like...
Then the cat becomes infection?
No, infected. Like cats usually have... Not usually, but like I don't think it affects cats.
Toxoplasmosis?
Yeah, it doesn't affect... They just pass it through.
Oh. Oh, they just pass through the... Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Well, the cats aren't really the big thing in this.
Yeah, but like I just think it's interesting.
That's an interesting fact.
That,
for sure.
You know, you can get toxoplasmosis from, because you can get toxoplasmosis from cat poop.
Oh, that's right.
Right.
Yes, so, it does just pass right through them.
So it's funny, like, so I would wonder if like rats like ate cat poop that had toxoplasmosis, and then they're like, I'm not even scared of you because I ate your poop. And then they're like, I'm going to eat you now then. Like, I feel like that's what's happening.
It's possible. They got it either way, and then they weren't scared of the cats.
No.
And then they got eaten, which is a very interesting thing. I don't know. Interesting
that
fact.
That is interesting.
Interesting fact.
Do you think if I eat a spider, I'll stop being scared of spiders?
No.
I probably think already have eaten a spider.
That's not how that works.
I probably have already eaten a spider because you eat, like, whatever. Eight? Many. Yeah. A lot of spiders during your life, and I've lived, like, at least a quarter of my life.
I think
probably
it's
more.
I think it's 8 a year.
At least a third, probably. 28. You, I don't think I'm living.
I don't think about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is, okay, so this is another really interesting thing. Doesn't really, well, it has to do with fear for sure, but like kind of a little bit off the path of what we've been talking about. There was this study in Germany in 2006.
Okay.
They had people exercise, collected their sweat.
Oh, okay, like, yeah, okay.
Then they scared people.
You said exercise, and I thought exercised, and I was like, we had demons in
What does this have to do with fear?
It took me a lot to get around to
to
working out, because my brain was like, people don't work out.
They worked out. They had them work out.
Okay.
Exercise, workout.
Exercise.
And then they had people with anxiety sweat as well.
Oh, okay.
Collected the sweat of both.
Oh, okay.
And then they tested, and I think it was 8 people in total.
That's not a very big study.
It wasn't a huge, I don't know how they ended up with only 8.
I feel like the controls are bad in that.
The controls are horrible. Not a very good study. No. But it's very interesting, the things that they found.
Okay.
Over half, the majority, 5 of them were able to not oral. 5 were able to olfactorily.
What does that mean?
Smell.
Okay, you could have just said smell.
It's not really small.
You can pronounce smell.
They were able to distinguish by smell exercise-induced sweat from room air. I might be wrong about the numbers. I don't know how many people.
More people
was it 5
could smell.
Or was it 4? Or was it 7? I don't remember how many people.
Okay.
But a good amount of them, 5 of them, were able to distinguish the exercise-induced sweat from room air. 3 of them could also distinguish, distinguish exercise-induced sweat from anxiety-induced sweat.
Oh, so they're like, this is how the room smells, this is how sweat smells.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, that's how you sweat when you work out, and that's how you sweat when you're stressed.
Like, they smelled it and said, oh, this person was just working out. Oh, this person was scared.
That's crazy. But, like, also, I feel like I've heard that on deodorant commercials.
Oh, probably. Well, you probably sweat more from fear, actually. Wasn't that the whole point of that? Yeah.
Yeah, it was like degree, I think. They were like...
Probably degree.
Stress sweat smells worse than exercise sweat. Yeah. Use degree.
Yeah. Use degree. They're always on that.
Degree.
But yeah, that's super interesting that humans can tell a difference smell-wise.
I don't fully trust that study, though.
I don't either. But the thought was that you can smell
I feel like
fear.
You can, though.
You can smell. You can literally smell fear.
Like, anecdotally, from, like, evidence I have gained in my life, I feel like that's true.
You can absolutely.
Like, when somebody's anxious, they smell worse.
Oh, for sure.
Like, when somebody works out, like, their sweat's not gross. Not always.
Mm-mm.
Never mind. Sometimes it's gross. My husband works out, and he smells gross. But sometimes it's not gross.
Yeah, sometimes it's not.
Yeah.
There's a couple different treatments. We're going to discuss treatments.
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 Obviously, anti-anxiety meds.
Crimis.
If you have...
anxiety.
Like ongoing anxiety.
Chronic anxiety.
Crimis. then there's cognitive behavioral therapy, or CBT.
Right.
That is when you... A couple of different ways. So I honestly don't really fully understand the difference between CBT and exposure therapy, because apparently CBT is by confronting your fear in a safe manner.
Right.
Exposure therapy is being exposed to the fear.
Well,
what's the difference?
I think that CBT is more like talking through it. So, like, instead of me, like, you're afraid of spiders, we just talk about them a lot. Instead of me being like, here's a spider. Figure it out. You know? Where exposure therapy is, like, dangerous.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, you're afraid of heights? Jump out of a plane. Where they're like, oh, you're afraid of heights? It's like, let's get to the root of that and then try to, like, work backwards from there.
That makes
one's
more
just
sense.
Trying to, like, change how you think about it,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And the other one is, like... trying to shake it out of you, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you work up to that in exposure therapy.
Yeah.
You typically like.
Right. I don't know. It's not like.
See a picture of someone in a plane or something. Yeah. You don't just.
Yeah,
like,
but it's still dangerous.
It is. Yeah.
End. But also, there's like some controversy over cognitive behavior therapy too.
Yeah.
How that can be dangerous.
Yeah. I mean, in the wrong hands, anything can be dangerous.
That's fair.
Let's be real.
That's fair.
Exposure therapy, though, has been known to help up to 90% of people with specific phobias.
Oh, well.
That's very time tested.
You don't die, it helps you.
Journaling. Journaling is another treatment, apparently. Talking, like, for journaling,
like
writing about your fears.
We went from, like, really high to, like, really low.
To the...
like, either you jump out of the plane or you just write it down.
Or you just write about it.
Write it down. It's fine.
There's also a thing called the fear ladder.
Ooh.
Which is when you write down all your fears, number them 1 to 10, and then... This said number them 1 to 10. I was like, what if you have more than 10 fears? Number them.
You choose 10. You start with 10.
You just start with 10. And then you address the fears starting with the lowest number.
Oh, like you rank them 1 to 10.
Yeah.
Okay.
So like, I'm not that scared of spiders, but I'm really scared of heights. 1 is spiders. 10 is heights. I work on spiders first. And then.
Spiders. I thought there was one that just came.
The way you jump.
I told you I have a phobia.
Just even thinking about spiders.
Well,
mentioned spiders.
No,
like, yeah.
Did you see this moved? And I thought it was a spider.
I didn't. It moved.
I don't know what happened, but it
oh,
moved.
But there is one on you right now.
Oh, my God. See, I have anxiety now.
I'm sorry.
I know you're joking.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that.
But no, it really is
it was so
terrible phobia.
It is a horrible phobia.
Yeah, I'm a little anxious now, so thanks.
On that note, we're going to take our last break, and then we'll come back and talk about the various phobias.
Ooh. If you would like to advertise with our podcast, we would greatly appreciate it. Just send us an email to 6of1podcast, all spelled out, @gmail.com. That's 6of1podcast@gmail.com. Hello, and welcome back to the 6of1 podcast. We are talking about fear, and we're going to jump into types of fears.
Ooh.
Take it away, Kyle.
Ooh.
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 Ghosts.
Phobias. Let's go through the list. We're going to go alphabetical. I did this with my class, too, and they were like, oh, my God, I didn't know about half of these. First one up. My personal favorite, actually not my personal favorite because it's my biggest fear, heights.
Yeah.
Acrophobia.
Heights are not fun.
No, they're not. I get real, real scared.
Yeah.
Chicago, not a fun place.
Right.
When
I was in Memphis one time, the top of the Bass Pro Shop pyramid.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They have one of those. And I like went out once. And
nope.
The second time I was like, my body just stopped me.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, I want to walk, but my body won't move.
Nope. Nope. I did the tilt in Chicago, which is when you tilt over
the
city.
Oh, yeah, no.
I did that with our friend, a mutual friend. And I don't know how I did that, but I did that. It was years ago. And most recent trip to Chicago with Josh, we went to the boxes that are over the city.
Uh-huh.
The glass boxes. And I would, like, had intention of doing it, And then I like walked probably 5 feet from the edge and I was like, nope, not doing this.
Yeah, no, it's the worst.
Not doing this.
I also get vertigo. So like on top of that, like my brain.
It's
like,
so disorienting.
Yeah. No, yeah, that's crazy. But I also feel like, maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like the pandemic has heightened my like fears. Like maybe it's non-relational, maybe it's just because I'm getting older, but like I feel like since the pandemic, like I've been scareder of things.
That would be a really good study.
Yeah, so maybe that happened. Maybe you're more scared of heights now because of other traumas. Like a global pandemic that we all went through together.
You know?
Combined trauma.
Combined trauma. If it was educational related, I would probably make that my dissertation. Or that's a good a topic, at least it's a good idea for a dissertation.
Right.
We have aerophobia, which is the fear of flying, as you can probably guess. Aeroplane.
Like aeroplane phobia.
Aeroplane phobia.
Connie has a fear of flying. Oof. Not that bad. Like, she can do it.
Yeah.
She hates it, but she can do it.
I don't really care. I mean, I actually really like flying.
I don't like taking off, and I get vertigo in the sky. Just not a good time
not
for me.
Not good, no.
It's not like I'm scared of it. It's just not a good time.
Yeah. A common one, agoraphobia, which is fear of open... this says it's fear of open spaces or crowds, but we typically know it as the fear to leave your house. Yeah.
Yeah.
Staying put. The fear of needles or pointed objects is eichmophobia.
Okay.
A-I-C-H-M-O. The fear of men is androphobia.
Ooh. That's fair. That's a fair fear.
Fear of being touched is... There should be another vowel right there after that M. Aphenphosmophobia.
Well, click on it. Maybe it will tell you how to spell it correctly.
Aphenphosmophobia.
Aphenphosmophobia.
No suggestions.
No. Okay. I didn't think so. I was like, maybe though.
Aphenphosmophobia. I don't know.
It knows how to spell the next one, which is really long too. Oh my god.
You jumped so hard. What was that?
I can't talk. Oh my god. Oh my god, I'm crying.
I wish I was looking at you when it happened.
Oh my god. Oh my god, I can't, I'm crying. You're like, well, what happened was I saw this blanket out of the corner of my eye and I thought somebody was behind me. And I thought it was my husband. Because I think he's home. But like, that's fine. I would jump. But like, then it wasn't. It was just a little more scary. But then I realized it was probably just this blanket in the corner of my eye. Oh my god.
Oh, my stomach hurts. Oh my god. Apparently you're not a flight person.
No.
You just thwap that thing so hard.
Yeah, but like I can't run in this. Sometimes you're trapped at being a fight person, you know? Like if you're backed in a corner, you know, you gotta do something.
You're forced.
And yeah, I can't get out of this like little seat I'm in right now. Oh my god.
Slap it. It would have been funnier if it was actually your husband.
You smacked him. Well, that's what great. You get for sneaking up on me.
You have been scared so many times during the
You just talk about fear, and I'm like, got it. I got it. I understood the assignment. Oh, my God. Okay.
Oh, that was so good.
Until the fear of being touched.
Oh, I'm glad you got to hear that live, listeners. All right. Fear of peanut butter.
Okay.
Which is arachibutyrophobia.
I wonder if people usually have that fear when they're like allergic to peanut butter and like that's about it.
From what I read, it is like people that are allergic to it, but it's also the fear of peanut butter getting stuck to the roof of your mouth.
Oh, that's fair. That's annoying.
And then asphyxiating.
Oh, that's a little dramatic, but like if you saw somebody do it before, then I get it.
Or if it's happened to you.
Right.
Or your dog.
Or your dog.
Dogs like peanut butter.
Yeah, my dog loves peanut butter, but he's good. He just goes for like 5 hours. I'm like, drink some water. He goes, I'm like, why aren't you drinking any water? And he just keeps. I also recently found out he loves apples. fucking loves apples.
Dogs like apples sometimes. Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah, he really likes them. I fed him a whole apple yesterday.
Oh, my God. It's a lot of apple for one dog.
Well, it was one of the small ones.
Oh.
Yeah. And not like that. I didn't feed him like a Red Delicious.
Nice.
It was a Gala,
healthiness.
I think.
I love it. Arachnophobia. Obviously, everyone knows that's the fear of spiders, which we have learned Sav has.
I do.
Fear of disorder or untidiness. Well, maybe I have this one too. Ataxophobia.
Okay.
Autophobia, fear of being alone.
Okay.
Bacteriophobia, the fear of bacteria.
Ooh.
Germophobes, you could say.
Right, but germophobia is a phobia too, right?
I think it's just like the general fear of germs. I guess this would be specifically bacteria.
Yeah, okay, that's fair.
Batrachophobia.
Okay.
Fear of amphibians.
Oh, not bats?
No.
That's...
Bat is in there, but batrachophobia is the fear of amphibians.
Okay.
I definitely... Well, I don't know if I have a fear of them, but I really dislike them.
Oh, yeah, you don't.
Frogs, snakes.
I fucking love frogs. I like garden snakes. I grew up, like, holding them. Remember that one time we were at the brewery, and I was like, I haven't held a frog in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then they found a frog outside, and you were like, outside. That's the grossest thing I've ever heard. And then I went in and I picked up that frog. I like picking up frogs.
Germs.
They're great.
Germs.
You just wash your hands afterwards.
Cacophobia is the fear of ugliness.
Oh.
Catatropophobia, the fear of mirrors.
That's a fair fear.
That's fair.
Especially when, you know, if you combine that with like paranormal shit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, see, like, I was thinking along the lines of you didn't like your appearance.
Oh, like that goes with the fear of being ugly?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I was thinking like, you know, yeah, like, oh, yeah, ghosts are in my house. I'm afraid of mirrors. That makes sense to
me. I mean, yeah.
That's a sensical fear.
It is. Chronophobia is the fear of time.
Okay.
Chronos comes from Latin, chronos.
Right.
Claustrophobia. It's not the fear of Santa Claus. It's the fear of confined spaces.
Ba-boom-tsh.
Ba-boom-tsh. Everyone knows claustrophobia.
Yeah.
Chaurophobia, the fear of clowns.
Ooh.
I also have this. Somewhat. I've gotten better over the years.
I feel like I have the fear of clowns that you see at the horror, like at like haunted forests.
Oh, well, yeah, they're meant to be scary.
But I don't have a fear of like just every clown.
Mm.
But I've never actually been around that many like non-scary
clowns. I think... I have a slight fear of regular clowns because of the scary clowns.
Right.
I think I was exposed to them early on.
I feel like if you got exposure therapy with like a nice clown, you'd be like, I was fine.
Probably. In a short amount of time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dentophobia is the fear of dentists.
That's a fair
fear. Makes
sense.
Ephebophobia. Fear of teenagers.
Teenagers care.
The living shit out of me. Oh, you were waiting. You were on deck.
I saw
with
that.
One.
I was like,
that's
funny.
On deck.
It's also called the MCROphobia.
Ba-doom-tsh.
Ba-doom-tsh.
You're fired. Gamophobia. The fear of marriage.
Oh. Many men have that.
Mm-hmm.
Ba-boom-tsh.
Ba-doom-tsh. Genophobia. Fear of knees.
What? Like, what are you afraid of the knees? Like, I feel like that needs more explanation.
You know, I have actually...
like, looking at knees, touching knees.
I don't know if I've met people or heard about people
fear of
on,
your
like,
own knees?
TV shows that have actual fears of knees. They don't like looking at them.
It's
They're
just look
scared
at it.
Of them.
I don't want to look at it.
Who doesn't care? I don't care about a knee.
Knees are kind of gross.
They're
knees
gross.
Knees are ugly looking.
They're ugly.
They're not, like, knees are gross. But
I
like,
wouldn't look at them all day, but I'm not scared of them.
That's fair. Like, yeah, but like, that's
really
why
judgy.
I'm confused. Yeah, that's why I'm confused. I feel like it needs to be more than just like, I don't like the look of them. You know, like, I feel like it's there's something more.
Fear knees?
Like, fear of like, it coming to get you. Like, maybe you were kneed once.
My knee's going to get you.
Right. Like, are you afraid of clothed knees? Are you afraid of your own knees?
Sounds like it's just a general fear of knees.
But like, what about your
it
own
It could
knees?
Be all those things.
How do you live your life afraid of something you have in your body?
Can't look it up.
Unless you only people that are amputees have that fear.
Could be.
Maybe they're just afraid because they lost them.
More questions than answers on that
so
one.
So many questions on the fear of knees. I'm sorry.
Glossophobia is the fear of speaking in public. That's a pretty common one.
Yeah.
Gynophobia, fear of women.
Fear of vaginas.
Fear of vaginas. Hemophobia, the fear of blood. Makes sense.
That makes sense.
This one is the funny one. The fear of long words. Hippopotamonstros equidipedaliophobia.
That's just rude. It's whoever named that is just rude.
This is rude.
It is rude.
The fear of long words is in itself a long word.
Yeah, it's super rude.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36.
It's longer than the alphabet.
36 letters.
I'm not a fan. I just think that's a little rude. They're
it's,
like,
it's quite rude.
You're going to name it really long. It's fuck you. Long words. Fuck off.
Then we have hydrophobia, which is the fear of water in general. And then the fear that I have.
Mm.
Actually, this might be number one. The large bodies of water is thalassophobia. Thalassophobia.
Okay, so like the ocean.
Yeah. Oceans, lakes.
Like how fair? Lakes? You've been in a lake.
I don't like them.
I've been in a lake with you.
Which one?
The lake by your parents' old cabin.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't go deep, though. No, I don't think I ever went in.
Oh, I feel like you've been in.
I was
You didn't swim to that little, like, platform thing?
No.
What? Just hiding the fear.
I don't think so.
Just hiding the fear.
The only times I've been in lakes is when I'm drunk.
Oh, yeah, then your fears are gone.
Fears are gone.
That's fair. Maybe that was it. Also, are you... So, like, if you're on a boat... Are you afraid?
Boats are okay.
Okay. So, like, you're like, I'm on a boat. It's fine.
I'm on a boat, motherfucker. Yeah, as long as I'm not too close to the edge.
That's fair. Okay.
I just don't like them because you don't know what's down there.
Well, you don't.
Also, I'm in a pool all day long.
Right. You can see the bottom. What about a big pool? Like an Olympic-sized pool?
Boats are fine.
You can still see the bottom.
I can see the bottom.
Yeah, that's fair.
Those are fine.
What if you went to, like what those places with, like, clear water beaches?
Those are better, but if I can see fish, nope.
Right, so then maybe it's just a fear of fish. Maybe you think it's a fear of large body of water, but it's really just a fear of fish. A
fear of aquatic animals.
Yeah. Like, you really are just, like, it's just manifesting. Because you're like,
fish.
Like, it's two steps, you know?
Pescophobia, probably.
Like, fish are in this water. I am afraid of fish. I'm afraid of water. Because water equal fish.
If A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C.
Yeah, it's just the Pythagorean theorem of fear.
Icthrophobia is the fear of fish.
Oh.
Icthrophobia, I think.
And you're just afraid of fish touch. Like, you can go to an aquarium.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's fine.
You mean you're not going to go to the touch tank?
I'm not
going to
touch a tank. No, I'm not going to touch a tank.
touch a tank.
I'm not going to touch a tank. Yeah, no, I definitely would do that.
Okay. Interesting.
Hypochondria is the fear of illness.
Right.
Makes sense.
Hypochondria is the fear of illness?
Fear of illness.
Okay, because I feel like when people talk about hypochondria, they're just like, this person's sick all the time. Like, that's crazy.
I think it kind of straddles.
Cause just because you think, I don't know, because I feel like some people just like think they're sick all the time, but does that really mean like you're scared of being sick? You just think you're sick.
I think we've just kind of turned it into that.
That's crazy.
Cool. Compoundophobia is the fear of buttons.
That's too much. too much for me.
Leucophobia is the fear of the color white.
Okay.
Necrophobia, fear of death or dead things.
Right.
Makes sense, necro. Nyctophobia is the fear of the dark.
Okay.
I have that little... Well, it's gotten better as I've gotten older. I was really scared of it as a kid. Abysophobia is the fear. Abysophobia, duh. Abysophobia.
I hate that name too.
The fear of gaining weight.
It's just fat phobia.
Fat
phobia.
Octophobia is the fear of the figure eight.
Oh.
The number eight. Which is funny because that's my favorite number.
Like the number eight or going in a figure eight? Like the fear of racetracks at like a race.
Well, it says the figure eight, so I would assume any incantation of eight.
That's fair. But maybe just, like, I feel like there's probably, like, degrees. Like, you can look at the number eight. You just have to spell it different. You know,
or maybe you just totally avoid it. You always just put 7 + 1.
What if your birthday's on an eight?
Like mine?
What if you're born in August? Yeah, I have 2 eights my birthday. 2 eights!
You do. 7 + 1/8.
17 plus 1. That's too much.
That's too much.
Okay.
Philematophobia. Fear of kissing.
Okay.
Phobophobia. The fear of phobias.
Like, there's the fear of being scared.
Fear.
Like,
fear.
You already failed, but like. Sorry.
You already failed. Samhainophobia. Fear of Halloween. Huh. I want to know where they got all these. Scoptophobia, the fear of being stared at.
Okay.
Selenophobia, not.
The fear of Selena.
The fear
the
of.
The Latin queen.
If you're ready, come and get it. Oh.
No. No, not that Selena.
Two different places.
The Selena.
The Selena.
Not Gomez.
Selenophobia is the fear of the moon.
Oh.
Tryptophobia, which I also have. Fear of holes.
Oh, yeah. The fear of, like, close together holes. Not just, like, a hole in the ground.
My kids were so confused about this. They were like, you're scared of holes? I was like,
well, because when you word no. it like that, it just. Like,
right. But it's a specific.
You're
like,
scared of the movie Holes.
I guess you could just say. Right. Especially with a capital H like that. I guess you could say, like, close together holes or. Yeah.
Like, symmetrical series of holes.
Yes. That's what it really is, symmetrical series.
But, like, if they're a little unsymmetrical, it's still scary.
Yes. They could be bigger sizes and smaller sizes.
But, like,
they can't be too
the
close
scariest
together.
Is, like, a honeycomb.
Scariest is
lotus
nipple.
Right. But, like, that doesn't exist.
Not lotus nipple, but lotuses. Lotus yeah. eye? Lotus?
Lotus. Just lotus.
Lotus.
I think lotus and lotus are just the both, the singular
it's
and the plural.
Goose.
Plural.
Oh, no.
Yeah, but, yeah, that's fair.
Holes, man. Holes.
Holes. The movie, it just means he's scared of the movie. Holes.
I'm scared of Sheila Booth.
Sheila Booth.
And Sigourney Weaver. I love Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah, don't be scared of her. She's great. She's scary in that movie, but she's great.
She's scary in that movie. What's her name? Kissing Kate?
I don't know.
Something.
It's been a while since I watched Holes. Yeah, me too.
Wiccaphobia is the fear of witches and witchcraft, of course.
Okay, so like something that half of all Christians have.
Oh, and then xenophobia is the fear of strangers or foreigners, which obviously makes sense.
Yeah, and I feel like we talk about xenophobia. I mean, I think that we usually use xenophobia for foreigners.
Yeah, like using the xenophobic asshole.
Right, like somebody
it's foreigners,
like
yeah.
Yeah, and I feel like we generally use it for like Asian foreigners.
Technically, oh yeah, no, we do.
I feel like that's technically like.
Like, really, though, if you're a foreigner, are you a stranger?
You don't have to be a stranger if you're a foreigner. Like, if you're foreign. First of all, foreigner, the word, it sounds like a slur to me now. So it's hard. Like, I keep saying it, and I feel like I sound like.
If you are foreign.
Hey, you foreigner.
Oh, no. When
See,
you say
it
like
sounds
that,
like a slur.
Foreigner.
Well, because it's
What's
just been
noise?
Used as a slur so many times. Right. It's just transformed into feeling like a slur.
But if you're foreign, so you're American.
A foreign person.
A foreign person to an American. Are you a stranger? No.
It depends.
Not necessarily, yeah.
You can be a foreign person and a stranger. Like, if you
can be.
Are from France,
mm-hmm.
let's say,
mm-hmm.
and you came here.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know you. You're a stranger. But if you're from France and you came here, we are pen pals. You're not a stranger.
No, right, exactly. Or if you're technically.
Like my family comes from Brazil. I don't have family in Brazil. I made that up. I'm not even Latino. I'm
not
sorry,
even,
guys.
No, not even Brazilian at all.
But if I have family that come from Brazil, mm-hmm. they are foreign, but they are not stranger.
No. Technically, if you. Immigrate, here from Canada, and you don't have your visa yet, or you're not a citizen yet. You're just
everybody
a visa,
that's not from America
is
a
foreigner. But
and
they're not necessarily.
We're
stranger.
A foreigner when we're not in America.
Like say, I had a friend that's from Canada.
Foreigner
that is not a citizen yet,
or not even if you're not a citizen.
They're not
yet.
A stranger, but they are a foreigner.
They're like even if you're a citizen, I think you're still a foreigner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's a subjective term.
And like how long do you have to be in America before you're not a foreigner anymore? And like you could be a foreigner and also a citizen. Like you can be from here and also not from here at the same time.
This is true.
You have dual citizenship.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of factors.
My brain hurts.
Yeah. Either way, foreigner does sound like a slur to me
now. It does. Foreigner.
I just said it like 100 times.
Foreigner.
Foreigner.
It's also the name of a band. So.
Well, it's problematic. I'm just kidding. It's not problematic.
Change your
not
name.
Not like Lynyrd Skynyrd. They're problematic.
Lynyrd Skynyrd. But that's fear, my friends.
That's fear.
That's all about
and
fear.
I got scared like 3 times talking about it.
It was so meta and perfect.
Just trying to be meta.
I loved everything about
my God,
it.
I swear I thought somebody was behind me. I still feel like somebody
The funny thing is that it's been sitting there this entire time.
What? Stop saying that. I know there's no spider.
It looks... No.
the blankets. I thought
blanket
you were trying to scare
has
me.
Has been in that same position this
yeah,
entire time.
I just like... I tilted my head just enough that I could see it, you know?
Yeah. And you were like... Yeah.
And then I also felt it. Yeah, I'm the type of person, like, I freak out after, like, stressful situations and, mm-hmm. like, mostly, like, scary movies.
Now you need
like,
to watch
remember
a scary
that
movie.
One
yeah.
time mm-hmm. we I saw The Nun and then I bent my key in our door when we lived together? Like, I was so scared. And it's not that I'm scared of the thing. Like, I wasn't scared of the nun coming to get me. I just, my anxiety was so high, and I just had fear that, like, I, like anything could happen, you know?
I shouldn't look because it's so horrible, but it was
it
such
is.
A funny moment.
It was. I was so, I just had to get inside, because, like, I just, so like, I felt like somebody was following me, so and not the scared. Nun from the movie The Nun, although that is a scary movie.
That is a scary movie.
She is scary.
You need to watch a scary movie tonight now.
I kind of want to watch a scary movie
I really
tonight.
Want to, too. TikTok has been saying that Orphan is really scary, and Josh hasn't seen it, so we're gonna watch that soon.
Like Orphan from back in the day?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, the yeah, it is scary, but like, I've seen that.
And funny enough, right before I came here, I watched a TikTok, randomly came up in my For You, the 5 scariest movies proven by science.
Oh.
I don't remember the succession. I remember what number 1 was, though. It was like, they were all recent. Conjuring was on there.
That's pretty scary.
Insidious was on there. So Insidious was number 2.
That's real scary.
It was a really scary one. Number 1, though. Drum roll, please. It's horrible.
I know.
Was Sinister.
Sinister is Sinister.
Sinister is probably the scariest movie I've ever seen.
I can still think of that guy's face. Because yep. I didn't watch it. Yep. I didn't see it when I was in the theater. And then Stephanie shared it on my Facebook page.
Yep. And then it was like... most jump scares though was Insidious, and that or the
yeah that's fair.
Not maybe not most jump scares, but scariest jump scare. Sorry, scariest jump scare was Insidious, and then Sinister.
Okay.
So,
was the Babadook on there?
No, that's not a scary movie at all.
That only because he's a gay icon. Now he was scary before he was gay.
When I watched it, I was like, this is not that scary.
It was kind of scary.
I didn't think it was scary at all. Babadook, doop, doop, doop.
Babadook, doop, doop.
I don't like that in high def.
Babadook.
Stop! That's horrible.
Well, I got to scare you. I got scared. So I cried. I didn't cry because I was scared. I cried because I laughed too hard. But I cried.
I hate everything about it.
Babadook.
Babadook,
doop,
okay, well, anyway.
Okay. Is that it?
That's all I got. Is that all you got?
I think that's all I got.
All right.
Well, thank you all for joining us on this fine, lovely day. We hope that you enjoyed this episode about fear. We hope you learned a lot. And we will see you next week with another episode of the 6 of 1 podcast. In the meantime, we do hope you
stay curious.
6 of 1.